The next speaker, Michael Bovin, I'd like to take the opportunity to recognize another former SDP director who has just come to join the new division sitting there at the back. Michael.
Thank you for being here in this pre-hurricane weather. Glad that we have a respectable group participating with us. Most of my work recently has been in the area of leadership and distance education, but in the year 2000, I was asked to observe and evaluate a new online course, and in the process of doing that, I noticed that 24 of the 55 students in the course were invisible in the sense that for a period of time in the course, and this is halfway through the course, approximately the middle of the term, they were not posting anything. They just did not seem to be engaged. And so this led me on this quest of seeking the invisible online learner. So I want to talk a little bit about the findings of this very briefly, and then I want to tell you what has happened as the sequel to my research. And then I want to pose some additional questions, because like a true scholar, when I finish my work, I have more questions than answers. And hopefully some of you it'll generate some questions in your mind. And I want to talk a little bit about why I think this is an important investigation. I happen to be teaching a course this semester where I have 15 students, and at the end of last week, I noticed that we had accumulated 489 postings in 5 weeks, including my own. And that's an average of 7 per week. And then I further looked at the data, and I saw that, incredibly, all 14 students were visible. But this, I think, is an exception in an online course. It's the first time I've been designing and teaching online courses for 5 years now. I've been involved in distance ed for 25 years, but only 5 years in online instruction. Even though some people think that's when distance ed was invented, just 5 years ago or something. But in any event, getting back to the original group, there were 22 inactive learners. So the questions that I posed, the basic research questions that I posed were, and I think these are important questions for all of us to ask of online learners who are visible, who are invisible, as well as classroom learners. One is, why aren't they participating? Number two, are they doing anything at all if they're not visibly present? And number three, are they learning anything? Since our basic working assumption as educators is if we have more active learners who are more apparently engaged, then presumably the learning outcomes will be more satisfactory. What could we posit? We could posit that, well, they're new to online learning. That's why they're not participating. They don't have enough time. They're busy working adults. That's why they're not participating. They're intimidated by the other students who are actively participating, and they don't think they can be as articulate. Or they are introverted learners. That's just their style. They just don't want to be actively involved. So at the end of this little study, none of the above seem to apply as convincingly as I had initially thought. Some of the things that I did learn from this group, and subsequently in the past 5 years through observation and anecdotal data through my own experience as a teacher, I wanted to see if my experience with these so-called invisible learners over the past 5 years correlated with my findings when I was a more detached observer rather than a participant in the process. So here's some of the things that I found out with my original group in the study and with the multiple groups since then. Number one, the person who is in an online course and is not visibly participating tends to be a more reflective learner. These folks are the ones who are more inner-directed as opposed to other-directed. If I can borrow a phrase from Paul Goodman's classic work on inner and other-directed personalities, they tend to want to learn how to learn on their own rather than getting their cues from other students or even me as the instructor. So they're more inner-directed learners rather than other-directed. And maybe that's a basic personality trait that they exhibit in other aspects of their life. In fact, they're reflective in the sense that rather than feel the need to be constantly posting, to be visible, to assure me and their peers that they're actively engaged, they would rather reflect, process, synthesize what they're being exposed to, and then participate occasionally, and hopefully say something really pithy when they do talk, rather than just get a lot of words up for the record. But are they doing anything? You know what I found out? I found out that these so-called invisible learners, presumably inactive learners, and I have to accept this, this is their response on the questionnaire, the people who were posting minimally were spending an average of 22 hours a week in the course. So what the hell are they doing all the time if they're not posting? They're reading. They're reading the assigned materials, the texts and articles, etc. They're reading and digesting other people's postings, and they're thinking about the stuff that they're reading about. And only occasionally are they posting. Are they learning? Well, my experience has been, as both an observer and as a mentor with these students, that using, for example, a standard measure of how they perform on tests, written assignments, etc., one might presume that these inactive students are so disinterested, maybe they don't like the course design, maybe they don't like the content, maybe they don't like me, and they're likely going to suffer when they submit their work. In fact, what I have discovered, both in the study and my own experience, is that the so-called invisible, less active, less participatory online learner performs better than the average participating, that is sort of the mid-level participator. The students who are most active and fully engaged, you sort of can't shut them up, they actually do perform well. I mean, they're really totally consumed by this, and for the most part, they're really the top performers. But the low visible, or the almost virtually virtually invisible student, is actually, they perform better than the, for example, if the highly active student posts 10 times a week, the middle active student posts 5 to 7 times a week, and the low or no visible student posts, say, once or twice a week. In fact, that latter group ultimately does better, both in terms of the quality of their work when they do post, and in their course written assignments. So, in the process of discovering these attributes, these characteristics, I began to realize this is such a complex phenomenon. There must be all kinds of other things going on that hadn't even occurred to me in my initial study. So, I want to pose some additional questions that I want to ask maybe on a subsequent study. So I'm thinking of doing a bookend project now. I did the original study in 2000. I had 5 years of experience of my own. A lot of my experience, observational and anecdotal, confirmed what I found the first time. I'd like to do now with a larger cohort, study the invisible learner a third time in a more formal. And then I'd have 3 sets of data. Other things that I'd like to find out in the future. I'd like to find out what the impact on learner participation is by the invisible instructor. And let's face it, there are a lot of invisible online instructors. Every time I get a compliment from one of my students telling me how responsive and how visible I am, it's always at the expense of some of my colleagues who say, none of the other faculty are as participatory as you in the course. Well, that doesn't make me feel good, you know, because I'm thinking, what's the problem? What are they doing? You know, I'm working pretty damn hard in this course. And what about my colleagues? Because the students who are taking their courses are saying, I'm the only one that seems to be giving them feedback, etc. So it's a nice compliment for me, but it leaves me wincing about what the impact is of the low visibility instructor. And we have to model what we expect of our students in the courses. Another thing I want to find out, what about the interactive style of the other students in the course? Are highly active students likely to be a role model for the less active, less visible students? Or in fact, they might actually intimidate the less visible student. Because some of those students say, oh gee, that person said it so well. She always seems to be right on the mark. And I was thinking the same thing, but I wasn't sure I could say it quite so well. You know, to paraphrase Mark Twain, better to remain invisible and be thought a fool than to be visible and remove all doubt. I think, unfortunately, some of our learners, they need not be, you can provide a supportive learning environment and say, you know, there's really no right or wrong answers here, but a lot of them just are more reflective, they're more thoughtful, and by the time they're ready to post something that's meaningful to them, somebody else has said it, probably not as insightfully or as articulately as they should, but the person feels like, well, I've lost my chance. I'll wait till next week, and then I'll really say something worthwhile. But maybe the same thing happens next week. Another phenomenon, and I'm getting close to finishing, is what's the influence of a cohort group that works together in a course, going through a program of study? If you have 10 students in an online course, and 7 of them have taken 4 courses together in the past, and you have 3 new students who haven't worked as part of that cohort, there's a dynamic there where the 3 new people, as aggressive as they might be, as you know, resourceful, active learners, it's going to take them a while to kind of feel that they're not interlopers. Indeed, sometimes I feel like I'm an interloper in the class because these 7 students, they talk with each other and they sort of forget that I'm there. So that has an impact on the dynamics. So a final possibility is, what types of questions do you pose? Some students are going to be more receptive to answers that require a synthesis of ideas and conceptualizing, adding their own experience, whereas other learners just want to answer the question straightforwardly. Just, oh, she just wants the facts, that's what I'm going to give her. So my point in doing this is to not only learn something about the so-called invisible learner, it's to learn something about the visible learners as well, to learn something about my own teaching, to learn, understand more about the online environment, and maybe in the process, as a byproduct, it might ultimately teach me to be a better teacher in the classroom on those few occasions when somebody manages to drag me back into a classroom environment. So I would challenge all of you to be attentive to this invisible learner. The bottom line is, the invisible learner is participating in the course, is learning something from the course. But the question that haunts me is, you could make a case for saying the invisible learner, even though you hate to pressure them too much, you could say that they're really being parasitic, that they're not contributing to the learning community. And should the instructor allow the invisible learner to suck up as much as they can from the course, but be only a minimal participant? Maybe somebody will have an answer to that during the later in the session.
Thank you, Michael, for raising no shortage of questions. Exciting.